Isaac Akana Mason is here. The UK pianist will perform with the Toronto Symphony Orchestra tonight, tomorrow evening, and Sunday afternoon. The program is titled Prokofiev's Piano, and it will feature Isaac with the composer's Piano Concerto No. 3. Tickets for this first spring weekend in 2024 in Roy Thomson Hall available at tso.ca. Isaac Akana Mason's career has been one to watch. He enjoyed an award-winning set of years with the Royal Academy of Music and quickly launched a set of recordings and tours that have taken her around the globe. Her debut album, Romance, which focused on composer Clara Schumann, entered the UK classical charts at number one in 2019. In 2021, she took us to 20th Century America with Summertime, that recording, as well an album with her brother, cellist Sheku Akana Mason, titled Muse. The siblings toured off and on in those early post-pandemic days to wide acclaim. During the lockdowns, Isaac performed alongside her family in Nottingham for big audiences, taking in the live streams over a million views. Last year, she evoked the feeling of wonder during childhood with her Childhood Tales release. Isaac Akana Mason is the recipient of the 2021 Leonard Bernstein Award, a 2020 Opus Classic Award for her Best Young Artist Performances, and as a member of the Akana Mason family, the 2021 Best Classical Artist at the Global Awards. Joining us in studio, it is a real treat, Isaac Akana Mason. Welcome.
Hello, thank you very much.
Great to be with you. It is, I think it was last year, your brother joined us on Zoom, and that's nice. It's nice to be on Zoom, but it's really nice to be in person.
So. Much nicer to be in person.
It is, yes. Right? Yeah, and I think he was in his bedroom, so this is nice to be here in a studio. you're probably familiar with that bedroom, maybe even.
Well, it depends, actually, yeah. If he was in London or Nottingham. You know, he has a few bedrooms.
That's right, fair enough. How's the season going for you? We're so happy to have you here in Toronto, make a little stop along your way, but how's it been going?
Yeah, it's been going well. I've been doing a combination of many different things, and it's always exciting to come back to this concerto, which I've been doing kind of on and off for the last year.
Yeah, it's interesting when we think about what we've been hearing on record compared to maybe what you perform live. I guess those live in two different worlds sometimes too, right?
Yeah, I think there's something very special about live performance. I think there's the spontaneity, there's the excitement. Obviously, on a record, things can be more perfect, and in a way, you can go into more detail because you have all that time. But I like the energy of live performance.
Yeah, let's talk just a little bit about Childhood Tales, because we did play it quite a bit. Because I like the spirit that went into that record, what you were trying to evoke. I mean, take us back to your childhood and that wonder and what you tried to put into that record.
Yes, this record did feel very personal to me. And it actually started with the Dohnányi Variations on a Nursery Rhyme, which I did not play in my childhood because it's very difficult.
Right, yeah.
But it's obviously around a childhood kind of theme. And it's just a piece that I felt was underplayed, that I'd just fallen in love with several years before. And then the link to my childhood really came through the Mozart Variations on the same Twinkle Twinkle Little Star theme.
Of course, yeah.
That was one of the first pieces, well, not the first piece I played, but, you know, I was very young when I played that piece. And so there's that feeling of nostalgia whenever I hear it. And the same with the Debussy Children's Corner as well. And I think many people played some of these pieces for exams and that kind of thing.
We were just playing the new record from Francesca Dego, this Italian violinist, and she was talking about sometimes when you tackle that repertoire that has been recorded numerous times, you sort of go, okay, what am I going to do with the Debussy, for example? And so take me through that mindset when you sit down to record something that maybe has been well recorded in the past.
I think when I record something that's got lots of other recordings, I try to forget about that.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Yeah. Because really you have to approach every piece the same, regardless of how much it's been recorded. It has to be your interpretation, and I'm always going to give my all, whether it's been recorded once or 100 times. So
yeah, it is a wonderful record. Let's hear a moment from it right now. Issa Takana Mason is here. Just a moment there from Childhood Tales, and the UK pianist will perform with the Toronto Symphony Orchestra tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday afternoon. The program is titled Prokofiev's Piano, and it will feature Issa with the composer's Piano Concerto No. 3. Tickets on this first spring weekend here in Toronto, tso.ca. Do you believe it's spring here in Toronto? We're about to have a big snowfall for you today and
yes,
through the weekend.
I'm trying to believe
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I guess weather-wise, we're not that different from home, right, for you? I mean, I guess it can be rainy and a bit snowy and so on.
Yes, that's very true, although I would say it's quite a bit colder here.
You had to rub it in. All right, so...
I love it, though. I love it.
Fair enough. And Toronto, not a real often stop for you. It hasn't been too many times that you've been here, right?
No, I think it's only my third time here. I came with my brother once, and then I also did a solo thing here once, and...
I remember I was pretty mad that I missed you with your brother because that was, I remember reading the LA Times review and it was just like one of the most glowing reviews I'd ever read.
Oh, so I mean, I never read reviews actually, but that's
smart.
Lovely to know.
Again, smart. I love it. Tell us about Prokofiev 3 from your perspective. Completed in 1921, a lot of the work done in France, it is considered to be quite difficult. It is considered political on some level. So just take us through the process of ingesting the material. And obviously, you need to think a lot about the music, but then there's also the context around what he was thinking about and so on. So take us through that process.
Yeah, I loved this piece the first time I heard it. I think it gets kind of darker as it goes through. I mean, for me, the first movement kind of feels like a party, you know, it's very fun, very exciting. And I mean, the initial thing, of course, is getting on the notes.
Right.
And the first movement kind of plays itself after that, I always feel. For me, it gets more complicated in the second and third movements, particularly in the second movement. I feel like the music gets that kind of dark edge and probably reflects more his emotional state at the time. And then the third movement has a bit more joy, and that's kind of a combination.
I just want to read here. They say the third movement, which Prokofiev himself called an argument between soloist and orchestra.
Mm.
That's interesting because you're finding it to be slightly lighter than the second movement, but...
Lighter than the second movement, but not as light as the first movement.
Right.
I think it has joy at the end. I think the ending is quite triumphant and it feels quite harmonious, but there's definitely that fight between the piano and the orchestra. Yes, you can hear that a lot. For me, it doesn't always feel so argumentative. Sometimes it's a bit more playful.
When you're in the second movement and you're working through perhaps the darkness, you've got the material, it's all with you, you're now in full performance mode. Where do you go in a place like that when it does get darker? Where do you find your body is? Where do you find your mind starts to go aside from perhaps focusing on the music? Mm-hmm. I mean, do you have to reach into a certain part of yourself maybe to find that extra emotional... get up and go?
I do, but I think the pressure of live performance kind of makes that reaching into yourself easier.
Right.
Because you're in such a heightened state of awareness anyway, just by the nature of being on stage. And that's what you need. You need heightened awareness and a lot of concentration and then the music. And right. I feel like those three things naturally force me almost into those places. They take me into those places.
Yeah, right. It's not that you have to look internally. The music almost does it for you in a sense.
Yeah, I feel like I'm sort of pushed internally by the music and the atmosphere.
It's kind of wonderful. It's like being able to take your mind off every other element of what's going on in the world. You just get to be completely immersed in that place.
Yeah, I think that is very special. And of course, it's not always perfect. I mean, sometimes even on stage, my mind goes to what I'm going to have for lunch tomorrow. But
right.
you get rid of that thought, you banish it, and you come back to the moment. But I would say my mind wanders a lot less on stage than it would in the practice room.
I am so excited to be able to see you. I'm going to be going tomorrow night. Just talk a little bit about your family and everything that's happened seemingly very quickly for this family in the last 5 years, certainly on the world stage. I think there was music in your family for a long time. Did it feel like kind of a roller coaster with everything that went on with the fame of your brother and you and just everything that ramped up very quickly?
Yeah, it did actually. Yeah. I mean, as you say, we were playing music from a young age. And so what we were doing as a family was, you know, going on for years. But yeah, becoming into the public eye and having more professional concerts. It felt like it happened very quickly and on a bigger scale than we could have imagined.
Is there anything that can prepare you for that? I mean, did you feel ready for that moment, or were you just like, okay, I guess we're just doing this and this is how it's going to go?
The second one, I would say. I think the moment makes you ready.
Yeah,
it's hard to prepare for that because also it looks different for everyone.
Because it's interesting. It's such a big splashy debut for you, but I mean, we can't underline enough what your brother goes through. He plays at this royal wedding. A billion people see him. And I would imagine for your whole family, that must have just, I mean, I talked to him a little bit about it, but it must have been just such a wild transitional moment for the arc of everybody playing in your household.
It's interesting because I think for a wider audience, the wedding was the start for many people. But for us, the start was actually the BBC Young Musician competition in the UK. And when he won that, that's when things really took off in terms of concerts and recordings and an agency. And that for us felt like the start of things. That felt like the whirlwind. The wedding felt like a step along the way, but because it's not like a big concert, it was kind of different.
Yeah. You know, I'm about to go traveling with my sister in Europe for 2 weeks. And so you do this sort of thing with your... By the way, I'll just double check. Is it seven siblings?
Seven of us, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a big musical family. And you have other members of your family that are kind of... It's all happening for them too, right?
Yeah. People are doing different things. Everyone's different ages.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone's doing something. Yeah.
So I'm about to go traveling with my sister. Nice. You do this sort of thing out on the road, performing together, particularly with your brother, Sheku. You've been out just numerous times. You recorded together. What is the secret for not killing each other out there on the road and having to be together? Maybe in a context, you're used to it when you're little kids, but then all of a sudden to do it as adults is a bit different, right? Mm.
I mean, I think we have a good level of space and closeness because, you know, we have our own rooms and we go off and practice separately. And then we come and rehearse together. We say, let's meet up for dinner and have a meal. So actually it's quite harmonious. But I do remember, I mean, our last tour was in East Asia in December. And by the end, we were kind of sick of each other's company. We weren't fighting or anything, but it was just like, it would be nice to see someone else now.
Right. And that's such a big trip and such a very exotic experience for the two of you. And so you kind of need each other, but at the same time, you've relied on each other so much.
And it was probably only in the last few days. I mean, for a lot of it, we were just really enjoying the new experiences together.
Of course. What's next for you? What are you looking at as far as projects and performance and what have you?
I've got a bit of a gap to learn new pieces because that's important.
Got to have that.
Yeah. So I'm learning the Beethoven 4th Piano Concerto. Then I'll have some concerts with Sheku again in May. We're doing a tour of Europe this time. So maybe we'll run into you and your sister.
That would be nice. I have just been such a fan of your work. We've profiled all the records on my program, The Oasis, certainly on the New Classical FM. And it's just been a joy to watch your career. And we can't wait to see what happens next. So thank you for taking some time with us.
Thank you very much.
Let's listen. We'll get back to music from Isaac Anna Mason. And remember, tonight with the TSO Prokofiev's piano, it is Piano Concerto number 3. And as well, tomorrow evening at 8 o'clock and then Sunday afternoon. Tickets for this spring weekend with the TSO, tso.ca. Let's listen. In performance, it's Isaac Anna Mason.